We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, Brandon Peoples, Dave Lewis, joined by Cheryl Collins, Raleigh County Historical Museum Executive Director. We're talking the railroad here and its significance on the area. Of course, the big boy locomotive from Union Pacific going to be making its way into Manhattan this Wednesday. 9:30 is when it's scheduled to be here for about 45 minutes.
Had a caller just a few moments ago ask if it came through about 12 years ago, and this is the first time that the big boy has been out since it was retired. They have a touring locomotive called the Challenger, which is a smaller one. It's only got 20 wheels. It's a 4664, which two pairs of six driving wheels. Now, there is a little bit of a, the frame allows it to articulate in between the two sets of driving wheels on both of these. And the Challenger is only 122 feet, a little puny thing compared to, you know, the big boy. But I remember, I think it may have been, I remember a friend of mine and I went up to Marysville to see, and I believe that was the Challenger that came through. And my goodness, it's an amazing sight. That one was too. I'm really fired up about this one.
Well, I'll be very interested because I've heard it is very, very big.
It is. It's like 18 feet tall. Yeah. Yeah, it's
the, a sight you don't see every day.
No, like I said, overall, it's 132 feet, 9 1/4 inches,
you know,
in case
really,
you're wondering.
I'm really curious the steam cloud that comes out of it. That's what I want to see.
Pretty prominent.
Yeah.
It's not environmentally friendly.
Well, maybe not, but
I guess you could probably say. But it has a capacity of 28 tons of fuel.
Wow.
And it's tender. And there are a couple of cars, like I said, that from what I saw, the video from Kansas City, there are a couple of cars that are right after the tender, which is where they used to keep the coal. And now it's made its switch to oil. And so they have a couple of additional cars for
with the fuel.
For fuel.
My understanding is that this train ran over 1 million miles.
Yes. This one individual locomotive, and it didn't really have a very long run.
Right, 20 years, that's not terribly long.
Yeah, and most of that time was, you know, in the 40s.
Well, yeah, my suspicion is during those war years, it was running nonstop.
Right.
Because they were trying to supply the war effort.
get a lot of fuel.
Yeah.
To make sure that it supported the war effort in the time.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it took. They said the, let's see, what is it? The highest rate of speed it can get is 70 miles an hour.
Do you know how fast trains go today?
Most of them have the ability to go much more than that, but they stick around, I think, 70 to 85, if I recall correctly.
But that would be the top speed for this big boy.
For some of today's little puny diesels, yes.
Peony diesels. My understanding is a diesel engine goes with this.
There's one at the tail, and I don't know exactly what its purpose is.
Well, I assume to make sure that there's no glitch and it breaks down and they can't get it off the track where they need to have paying customers.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. I would suppose some additional power whenever it needs it.
Uh-huh.
It may also be utilized if it needs to detach from the locomotive and tender those fuel cars,
right?
So that they can be
logistics
fueled, right?
And, that
because they may
sense.
Have to go to a side rail in order to get that, so that may be utilized for that. I'm just speculating on that,
right? I assume that.
So
would be
so
right
Wednesday's
too.
The big day in Manhattan, and I'm going over to Salina Wednesday to see it, for an extended amount of time, I hope.
Right.
So
get
hope
some
to see
good
it
pictures.
Roll
in. So you'll have some good pictures out there.
I'm going to work on it. You know, I'm not gifted when it comes to a camera, but yeah, I mean, cameras, there's going to be a lot of people out there with their phones, you know, taking pictures of it because this is a memorable moment. Even if you're not a train fan, this is an engineering marvel.
Yes.
Yes,
it really
is. Of its day.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your first train trip? I assume you've actually ridden on a train before.
My first train trip, actually, was like a little promotional thing. It came through here, 86, and I believe it stopped. I believe I got on in Wamego. I can't remember if I got on here.
Oh, interesting. So it was a special...
And if I recall, that at that time, the line still passed at the depot before before Fort Riley Boulevard replaced much of that line. And that was just a little touring thing that they had, kind of like this, only it was a much smaller locomotive. They had a passenger car, and they had a freight car that had a bar and a band in it. I remember that one well.
Wow. That was a pretty neat.
And we stopped, I think we may have stopped maybe in Rossville and then in Topeka.
Okay. Well, with the passenger service, and we had passenger service here for quite a long time, until 1971, regular passenger service. I know my old boss, Jean Dallas, told me that she went to the dentist or doctor in Kansas City, and she would take the train up there.
Yeah.
And so people would regularly take trips on a routine basis
and there,
on the road.
The railroad was also significant with regards to Fort Riley.
Oh, absolutely.
And not just, with, the military relationship, but because so many soldiers got on the train to go off to war. Not necessarily, those were ones that may have been drafted that went off to war by getting on the train.
And I think that's one of the things that I've found interesting with our depot project. And, of course, that's wonderful that our depot was saved and is still there. But there's so many important stories that connect to people's lives, like you say, with their loved one leaving from the war. Mm-hmm. For that at that place, so
yeah, there's back
it just connects with people's lives.
50 years ago, that was a main form of transportation.
Yes, absolutely.
And with planes becoming more cost friendly, I guess,
and an economic lifeline.
Yeah,
towns fought to get a railroad and named their town, like Leonardville and Cleburne were both named for railroad officials to try to sweet talk them into coming to that location.
Yeah, and there were so many towns, and then when the railways left, those towns pretty much dried up.
Well, it was much more difficult because being on the transportation crossroads is really, really important.
I think Marysville is still a very strong railroad community. There's a lot of train fans in Blue Rapids and Waterville and that area up there. And that's another subject that we'll talk about here, because there was a railway that served historical aspects of the city of Manhattan and connecting Manhattan and other areas.
Oh, a number of them, and they worked pretty hard to get them. Of course, the first one was the Union Pacific, and it came in August of 1866. It was built out to Denver by 1870. And, of course, this is not the main transcontinental line.
Mm-hmm.
We were connected up to it at Denver.
And the main transcontinental line is further north, through Wyoming.
On the Platte River up in through Nebraska.
Through Nebraska
and so on.
And through Chicago.
But we connected up to that. So that UP line that we had through here was pretty important.
And those all, when you talk about that transcontinental line, everything kind of connected with it.
Yes.
And that's why you had
Chicago
initially as such a huge stockyard and distribution.
Well, we had a number of other important rail connections here. The Kansas Central line was built. It started very first. It was a narrow gauge in Leavenworth in 1871, and it reached Riley County in 1881 at the town of Garrison's Crossing. Of course, you had Garrison on the Pottawatomie County side and Garrison Crossing on the Riley County side. And then later, in 1890, that railroad was changed to a standard gauge. And that was one of the problems with railroads. Sometimes they would build them narrow gauge, which was cheaper, but it didn't connect up to the big railroads because it wasn't the same type of rail.
Eventually, they all kind of, had a standard, but the narrow gauge could be anywhere from about 2 feet up to 3.5 feet. And narrow gauge is really prominent in the mountain areas.
Right. Well, and it, you didn't have as much space to build, and it was costly to build more space, so that makes
especially
sense.
Especially for mining, bringing ores in from the mines.
Yes. Well, that Kansas Central Railroad changed its name to the Leavenworth, Kansas, and Western in 1897, and I love that because they also called it the Look, Cuss, and Wait, or the Little Kansas Wiggler. And my understanding of Little Kansas Wiggler came from that when they first built it, they didn't tend to flatten out the grades. So I guess it was kind of a thrill ride.
A little roller coaster.
Going through those Flint Hills.
So that inspired roller coasters.
Northern Riley County there. But that was a really good connection there because we also had the Blue Valley Railroad that went north from Manhattan. And that's the one that got to Rocky Ford Dam in 1874. And you were mentioning that on the Riley County side of the Rocky Ford Dam, mm-hmm. there's a little scenic lookout that has one of the...
It's a hand car.
Yeah, a hand car on it, where you can see where that railroad line went up right along the river mm-hmm. all the way north. It was laid out to Stockdale by 1881 and to Randolph by 1885 and to Cleburne by 1886. So you could get then from Leonardville to Manhattan after the northern line to Manhattan was finished. So good connections then across the northern part of Riley County and then down to Manhattan.
Do you have some railroad maps
at the
museum?
Yes. The Kansas State Historical Society also has on their website some really good railroad maps. And, of course, they're www.kshs.org. So lots of good. You can see how things connected and how you could get from point A to point B.
We'll take our next break, and when we come back, we'll speak more with Cheryl Collins here. We're talking about railroads, and if you have any memories that you'd like to share with us, call us and let us know. Maybe you know, it wouldn't be hard to have more history with railroads than either of the two of us. We'd like to hear your stories. 537-1350 is the number to call at News Radio KMAN.